Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, William Morales. And on today's show, I have Luke Sancula, which is the CEO and leading mortgage marketing expert. Luke, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, listen, it's my pleasure. So, Luke, the first thing I always ask an entrepreneur like yourself, were you always entrepreneurial? Were you always seeking something better as you were growing up? Or did you have this entrepreneurial spirit at the age of five?
No. Yeah. So, I don't have the traditional, a lot of the entrepreneurs talk about, they're selling candy on the street and all these kinds of crazy stuff. I didn't really have anything like that. My parents weren't entrepreneurial. They were actually missionaries. And so, I didn't really have that background, but I did always have this, idea that I wanted to be a CEO, but I always thought that I needed to do it the traditional route, right? So I thought I needed to, go to corporate, work my way up the corporate ladder, work in corporate for 40 years and end up, eventually at the top of the pile, right? And, so all of a sudden I found a podcast, interestingly enough, since we're on this podcast, but I found a podcast, Entrepreneur on Fire. They talked about entrepreneurship and I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, I can start my own thing. I don't have to, and at the time I was working for a lender, but let's just say it wasn't the greatest experience ever.
Right.
So, that kind of got me launched into what I'm doing now.
So so what did you do first though, before, was your first foray into entrepreneurship was getting into the mortgage industry, or did you do something before that?
Okay. So back in 2016 is when I found that podcast, The Entrepreneur on Fire. I was a top account executive at a reverse mortgage lender. So I, I was one of the top two. They let a bunch of people go. I went through this sort of like the depression sort of thing. I was drinking. I was, basically I wasn't, I was pretty negative. I blamed everybody but myself. But in that time I found Entrepreneur on Fire. I started to, learn a little bit more about that side of things. I started to kind of change my mindset, got laid off in January. Tried to start a contract processing business, which if you're in the lending space, doing processing is the very detail oriented, go chase after docs from consumers and making sure that they're filling everything in the right way, basically, which is the opposite of what I do. I'm not very detail oriented. I'm very much the visionary I see the big picture. And so closed two loans and decided I was never doing that again. Got my license to become a loan officer, thought I wanted to be a loan officer, started to learn marketing in order to, generate leads for myself. Found out really quickly I didn't want to do that either. But in that time, I fell in love with marketing, I took a course that just so happened to talk about, hey, we're doing this for other people, starting a marketing agency. And I was like, you know what? I could figure that out. Of course, I thought I was going to be sipping Mai Tais on the beach, from a little laptop, making a whole bunch of money. That really didn't, come to fruition. It was like 2.5 years of being broke. But hey, you know what? Here we are.
No, obviously. I mean, because, like reading about your bio, you're the CEO and leading mortgage marketing expert. So what do you see in the current economic climate for mortgages? What are you seeing? And then we'll touch base on what the lenders are looking for, in your opinion, what the buyers are looking for to get into a mortgage, and obviously a few more questions obviously after that. But how do you see the current economic climate?
Well, so for the mortgage industry specifically, it's actually been a Let's just kind of like back up to the beginning of this pandemic period, right?
Sure.
Like when this all first broke, I was pretty stressed, right? Like my whole business is revolving around mortgage. And basically what I was hearing from my clients, from other loan officers, from people in the industry, that this could be another 2008, 2007, because there was already like, pretty much there was lenders that were getting margin called. There was a couple of like the non-QM lenders out there that ended up, going under, basically deciding that they weren't going to accept any more loans, just stuff like that was happening. And it was like a ton of uncertainty. We didn't know if the government was going to be stepping in. We didn't know what was going to happen. Right. And so it was just like real scary. But because of that, because of the pandemic, the government stepped in obviously with their trillions and trillions of dollars of economic relief, which in turn, and they also reduced obviously the Fed rate, which technically is not tied to interest rates. They're tied to short-term, not long-term interest rates. But regardless, that drove interest rates down as well on top of what everything else that was happening, right? And so what actually ended up happening is it was a huge boom for lenders, right? They're actually doing 3 to 4 times as much business during this time than they have over the previous years, right? Because rates are so low, people are taking advantage of refinances. People are wanting to purchase stuff like that. The inventory is fairly low in the market as well. And so it's been really kind of, it's like tough because on one end, they're super busy. On the other end, you know, a lot of the buyers, especially for purchases, right? A lot of people that are trying to buy are struggling to find a home because what's happening is there's multiple offers going in on these homes. Inventory is low. There's not enough new construction, especially because obviously the pandemic has, you know, put a little bit of a damper on, you know, for at least for a good period of time, put a damper on new constructions being built. So I think that's sort of starting to kind of build back up, but there still is a shortage of inventory, which means there's multiple offers going in, people having to put in $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 over asking price in order to win the bids. So that's kind of, there's both sides of it, right? There's the, hey, you know, the rates are really low. They're doing a ton of refinances. And even people wanting to purchase, but the problem is a lot of people aren't able to purchase or it's taking longer to get something accepted, right?
So are we seeing like this probably could be the best year ever for mortgage lenders because of what's happening with the economic climate, with the pandemic? Would you consider this one of their best years ever compared to, you know,
yeah, go ahead. I'd say yes. I would say yes. You know, it's one of the, just based off of everyone I talked to, a lot of my clients, even former clients that, you know, maybe they were having even success with us, but they're like, I literally don't have time to call any more leads because I'm getting so many referrals. I'm getting so many refinances. I'm working 18-hour days. Like, I just don't have the capacity to do that. Right. And so there's a lot of people that, you know, are just slammed full with business, which is obviously great for them, but there's also the reality that this isn't going to last forever, right? And so it's all about, you know, making sure that you're, yes, taking advantage of the current market, but also planning for, you know, the future, because at some point rates are going to go up. At some point, there's not going to be as many people to refinance, you know, so you're going to have to go back to focusing on the purchase market, which is always going to be that constant sort of flow of business, right?
Right. Wow. You know, and it's funny though, Luke, because, again, depending on who you talk to, with mortgage brokers, especially, you know, if someone is in this type of economic market, how can a mortgage broker be profitable? How can we help them become more profitable? Are we looking to seek for more buyers? Like you said, more refinancing. How can we help these guys out?
Well, I would say from the standpoint of a loan officer, you know, obviously, I'm a huge advocate of getting the money while you can, right? So do your refinances, you know, make sure you're hitting your old customers, doing that stuff, but keep it in mind that again, this is not going to last forever. So you can't neglect your real estate agent partners, your referral partners. You can't neglect your buyers just because they're having a hard time to actually buy. You still have to continue to focus on that because that's going to be your long-term game. I know a lot of guys, you know, some of these guys do refinances all the time. That's their full business. I'm a huge fan of, you know, obviously diversifying it, but not missing out. There's some people that are very heavy, like, oh, I do all purchase. And they're so proud of that they're all purchase. And you're like, well, you're leaving a ton of money on the table, right? Because you're not taking advantage of refinances. But then there's the other side where they're only doing refinances because they're faster, they're quicker. They don't have to wait, you know, 60, 90, 120 days for someone to find a house, put an offer in, go through escrow, you know, finalize all of that stuff. So there's kind of the both equations. So having a good balance there is huge. And I truly believe, especially with the way we market, but really with any sort of marketing for this space, mortgage, real estate, you're going to find that a lot of times, like if you start marketing today, it's mostly going to be building your pipeline for January, February, March, because, you know, the average sales cycle for mortgage and real estate is going to be 6-9 up to 18 months, if not more, depending on what part of the, you know, customer journey they come in, right? If they're just first starting out, a lot of times people start to look for houses about 12 to 24 months in advance to when they actually plan on buying, right?
I see.
It's just all about having, you know, building that pipeline for the future, because at some point, like I said, these refis are going to dry up. You know, all of those opportunities are going to dry up. So if you neglect your real estate partners, if you neglect the buyers, you're going to find yourself one day waking up like, oh, wait, I was closing 10, 15, 20 loans a month, and I'm down to like, you know, 10 loans in my pipeline for the next 6 months. What's going on?
Wow. Right? Yeah, no, exactly. So for a mortgage professional, how can it be more efficient with lead generation? Like, what are we looking for in lead generation? Are we looking for direct mail, word of mouth? Your opinion?
I mean, I'm a big fan in diversification. We specifically on our end, we do Facebook advertising and Instagram and doing some YouTube stuff. However, I really believe that you need to have multifaceted approach to how you advertise and how you market, right? Obviously, referral partners, I've hit on that multiple times. You know, those are huge. Those are going to be, there's some people that are like, I'm referral only. It's like, great. But then what happens if those referrals dries up? Like, what happens to your business? Same thing with, you know, Facebook advertising. Like, what if your ad accounts get shut down? What if, whatever, what if something happens there, you know? And so there's always multiple ways if you can afford it to diversify what you do. I'm a huge advocate in also using free methods, right? Like organic marketing, which is, you know, using your Facebook profile, letting people know what you do, right?
Right.
A lot of times people do not leverage their social media profiles. They're worried about talking about business, yada, yada, yada. But the reality is you really don't want to only talk about business, because if you only talk about business, you're not going to really get that much business. You just want to be a real person. You're going to attract the people that are similar to you. So talk about your family, talk about what you're doing, talk about where you're at. But on top of that, throw out every once in a while, hey, rates are really low. Hey, a real estate agent. Hey, you know what? I just got this new listing. But if you only post your listings, if you're only doing that, it's like people are going to tone that out right away, right? Like they're going to say, this guy's all about business. So again, remember you're a person and you're kind of marketing to people. So try to attract this, you know, you want to attract the sort of people that are like you, right?
All right. So we're talking about Facebook advertising. I just want to make sure that I missed, are we talking about Instagram also, or is that more just social marketing? Are we using that for lead generation also? Do we look at YouTube also as a source? What do you think about those? Yeah, go ahead.
I think, yes, you can use any of those. I mean, obviously there's the Gary Vee school of thought that, you know, he talks about putting out 40 to 60 pieces or 40 to 100 pieces of content a day, which is not, in my opinion, is kind of dumb and is not very, it's not possible for a single person, right? And so my advice mostly is to stick to one or two platforms, maybe three max. And master those platforms. And once you've mastered those and figured out exactly how it works, then maybe you can move on to other things. But, you know, that's from a purely organic standpoint, right? So, you know, what's cool about ads is you can put an ad up and it just kind of runs. You obviously have to monitor a little bit, but it runs and it's scalable, which is why I love paid advertising. But you should also leverage free advertising. Like you said, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. I personally use mostly Facebook. But I know a lot of guys in the mortgage space that are doing, I know one guy that's, I think he can attribute over $40 million in closed loans to Instagram. He's a younger guy. He's probably like 25, 26, something like that. And so he's been able to do a lot with just organic Instagram outreach, using specific, you know, I don't know, hashtags. I don't really know much about that. I don't like Instagram that much, but I've grown pretty much my entire mortgage marketing business off of organic marketing up until about, 10, 11 months ago. It was all pretty much organic that way. And then once I, you know, had the revenue, I started using paid ads because I wanted to sort of leverage and have a scalable way to grow. But yeah, organic is huge. Plus the people that come to you are so much more warm than someone that's coming from a cold ad, right?
I always heard about Facebook ads. Now, are they expensive if someone's new in the mortgage industry that they want to get in and they might not have the budget yet? Can someone advertise on Facebook to get leads? Or would you suggest, like you said, hey, you know, you have a Facebook page, you're a friend, you got 700 friends, but at the same time, hey, mortgage rates are low. How would you help someone out that's new in the business?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion is for someone who's new to the business is try to learn to be a good loan officer first. Go grind it out. Like, I'm a big fan of that. Like, yeah, we've had some clients that were pretty new that had success. However, the issue that they come across is they're trying to become good at converting internet leads, which is a whole another ball game. And they have to be, and they're learning how to become good loan officers, right? So they're learning guidelines, they're learning what qualifies, they're learning, you know, 40 different programs that are available and how they work and what the underwriting guidelines are at each of the lenders that, that provide these, you know, depending on if they're brokers, if they're lenders, right? You know, how much support do they have? So, you know, I really highly recommend, you know, especially under a year, probably do mostly, you know, free sort of things, cold calling, going to networking events, things like that. But at that point, at some point when your business is getting to a point, it is important, I do think, to grow with scale and to have a way to scale, to grow and have a predictable flow of business, flow of leads. Right. I would say give it a little bit of time, though, if you're brand new, unless you have, you know, 3 to 6, if not 12 months of expenses that you can just throw at ads, especially if you want to do them yourself. You're probably going to suck at first at running the ads. I mean, I sucked. I was horrible. And you're probably like, because the thing with Facebook is people just think that, oh, you click a button and leads start popping out. But the thing with Facebook is you need to have good ad creative. You need to know, understand ad copy. You need to understand the psychology of who you're trying to attract. A lot of people will talk about 0% financing. They'll talk about 100%, zero down or 100% financing, stuff like that. And guess what they attract? They attract a bunch of people that have no money, have bad credit, that can't qualify for a home. They're like, well, Facebook ads don't work, or the quality of leads is bad. And it's like, well, yes. I mean, if you advertise the wrong way, it's not the tool, it's the way the tool's used, right? And so a lot of it comes down to people like to say Facebook ads or Facebook leads suck. But generally it's because they're running the ads wrong. They're running a listing ad or something like that, where like someone just wants to see pictures. And then they're like, well, these people aren't converting. It was like, yeah, because you offered them pictures and you're trying to sell them on buying a house. What I do is we offer, hey, like, see if you can get qualified, right? So there's still, ultimately, they're internet leads, and you are going to find a lot of bad leads. You're going to find a bunch of people that have bad numbers, stuff like that. But within that, there's gold, right? And if you dig deep enough into that and you take the time to learn how to convert and become a good salesperson, you're going to find that is a hugely scalable way to grow your business. But there has to be the foundation in place, and there has to be the processes in place for it to make sense. Because if you're just throwing a bunch of leads into a broken system, you're going to get broken results, right?
Wow. Yeah. It's funny that you broke it down, because at the same time, yes, I would put a generic lead out, but then it's what you get back because of the lead that you put out. So like you said, we have to have better copy, and the words have to be specific to who we're looking for. Am I right, correct in that?
Yeah, correct, right? You're looking for specific demographics. So we target first responders, we target healthcare professionals, we target, you know, teachers, veterans, obviously, first-time homebuyer. But with a lot of times what people do with first-time homebuyer sort of ads is they'll, like I said, they'll talk about zero down payment, they'll talk about 100% financing, they talk about things like that, and then they attract those sorts of people, and they're like, why am I attracting these people? It's like, well, if you're putting out 0% or zero down, 100% financing, you're going to attract people that have no money, and generally that have bad credit, right? So they're not going to qualify. Yes, it's a great program for the right people, potentially, but it's not always the best. It's not usually the best bait, right? Because that's usually what they use as the bait, is zero down. So it's almost trying to qualify them, trying to actually, like, I'm usually not so much worried about cost per lead. I'm worried for cost per acquisition. How it doesn't have to be the cheapest lead. It just has to be the cheapest quality lead.
Right, right. Wow. Okay. So can you please tell us more about your focus on impact over income, and explain? Yeah. So please, because I think it's such an important thing, because not a lot of people will do the opposite. They do the income first and then maybe any impact that they might have, but you're doing pretty much the opposite.
Right. So the biggest thing for me is, like, you know, when you all get started, it does tend to come down to money, right? Like, when you're starting a business, you're looking for freedom, you're looking for additional income, more than you would get from a traditional job, stuff like that, right? And it kind of starts off as this income piece. But as you start to grow, and it doesn't obviously happen to everybody, but you start to feel like sometimes people aren't playing the long game, and they're like, they're what they're doing is they're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies, because like, I want to see how much I can profit today, versus, hey, I'm building a business for the long term, because I'm trying to impact my clients. I'm trying to build something that's actually going to be, it's actually going to serve this industry, because I see a lot of people going into an industry and just churning, right? Especially in the marketing space, like, they'll just get a bunch of clients, like, oh man, we're doing this. And then you see them burnt out, like, you know, 6 months later, 12 months later, whoops, just knocked something over. 12 months later, they've burnt out, or they're basically kind of blackballed out of an industry because they just went and churn and just charged a bunch of people money, and you know aren't around for the long term, right? So I'm really driven by helping people achieve their dreams, because I found, like I mentioned, you know, I got laid off. You know, I was, before that I had been, you know, they had cut, basically they had laid off a bunch of people, and I lost a bunch of business, and I was blaming them. I was doing, you know, I was just like, it's all their fault. I was, you know, I was going, I was drinking every day. I was kind of depressed, right? And I was like, I had this horrible negative mindset, and I've learned, like, just mindset makes such a big difference in kind of everything, right? And so if you approach it and you can change other people, and like, I like to scream it from the rooftops, just how important it is to have the right mindset, because that's really where I find that I was able to grow the most, was in changing the way I viewed problems, changing the way I viewed opportunities. That's really where it all kind of happened. And because of that, I kind of came to this realization that the way I was building my business was based around helping people and impacting people and helping them try to achieve the same things that I wanted to achieve, and doing it sometimes at the expense of getting the money right away, right? Yeah. Sometimes you have to do things that aren't going to make you money right away, but there's that fuzzy ROI that comes along with doing things the right way, and doing the right things for people and to people, is that you actually get to reap the rewards in the future of, you know, one, having a clear conscience that you didn't just, you know, take a bunch of people's money without actually delivering something of value. But also just from the standpoint of like, hey, you're actually building a reputation within an industry of someone that actually cares. And I've even had people that didn't get results.
And that goes a long way. Yeah.
Right. And I've even had people that didn't get results in our system that still like recommend us, and that still like, you know, we part ways amicably, because I'm always trying to find ways to, hey, how can I make it work for you? What can I do to help you? Like, and it's just like, sometimes I've given people free months before and stuff like that, just to try to make it work. Because I'm always looking to figure out a way how I can help them reach the goals that they initially wanted. Right. Because to me, I feel almost like a swindler if I'm not going above and beyond. And I take the responsibility. I just feel almost guilty when they don't get results. Like, it's my fault. And I have to take a little bit of that blame off myself, because ultimately it tends to come down to the end user, who's the one that's actually doing the work.
And you have to implement it. Yeah. And whatever you learn, you know this, and I know this. I mean, we can have all the education we got for free and paid for, but if you don't implement anything, you're not going to get results. And then you're going to blame, you know, the person that brought this idea to you. I just wanted to touch base on something that you talked about, mindset. How did you get your mindset back? How did you refocus on what you wanted to do after, you know, you got laid off, you lost some business, but it seemed, you know, with your energy, and I'm talking to you, that you're like full in, you know, you got the energy and you got the mindset. How did you get that back?
I mean, so I would say the first step was, when I started listening to Entrepreneur on Fire, what I did was I picked up one of those like little Bluetooth like connectors for my car. So on the way to work, instead of listening to morning radio or some sort of garbage on the radio, I was instead listening to something that was essentially filling my mind with, you know, positive things, with growth minded, you know, thoughts basically. And I started to sort of see like each of these people, each of these entrepreneurs, like almost every single one of them would say that the number one thing that really changed their life was their mindset. Like, and so I started to think like, maybe there's something to this, right? Like what is it about all these people that this is what they continue to say is what changed their life? And so, you know, just kind of seeing that and then implementing it for myself and seeing big changes. And even like just looking three years ago, you know, just where I was there and where I am now, it's just funny. I bought a course, and one of the things he talked about, her whole first module was all about mindset. And one of the guys in the course was like, man, you guys sold us on this being like a sales course, and then you dropped Tony Robbins on us, right? And it was just kind of funny, because it was like, you know, he sold us what we wanted and gave us what we needed, right? Yeah. And that's huge too, is like people don't understand that they have the capacity to create whatever sort of life they want if they're just willing to do the work and willing to be patient enough to get it. And, you know, again, that all comes down to the mindset and being growth-minded versus fixed mindset, right? Which is what I was. Like, I was still kind of growth minded, but I wanted to blame everybody for my failures, for the fact that sure, yeah, there was things that happened outside of my control that caused me to lose part of my business as an AE, but I still had the capacity to control myself. And one of my former, what's called bosses used to tell me, Luke, control what you can control, control what you can control. And I used to get so mad at him. I used to get so mad at him because I was like, no, I want to control everything. But
right.
I realize now that that was like one of the most brilliant, you know, things that he told me at the time. I just hated it at the time. Right.
No. And you hit on a great point about the mindset, because I so believe in that. I'm so into, like I said, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Jack Canfield. I mean, we got to keep it, because at the end of the day, we could run into the wrong person and all of a sudden fall into that category of being the wrong person. I love what you said, that you just pretty much just made up your mind. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to focus. I'm going to help the people out. And that's it. I love it. I think congratulations on your rediscovery. So what's happening again, what's happening now with the world and the pandemic? Are lenders changing their criteria to qualify a buyer, in your opinion, of what you see, what you hear? Because, you know, I think we talked before the show where Chase Bank a few months ago, or maybe 6 months ago, raised their limit to qualify for a mortgage to 700. Are you seeing more and more in that?
Yeah. So I saw a lot of the of those issues towards the beginning, right, of the pandemic, right? So like I mentioned, like, right whenever everything happened, there was no guidance from the government on whether or not they were going to come in and sort of, you know, start buying the mortgage-backed securities and start sort of propping up that market. And so a lot of lenders got scared again, because there was some of those margin calls there towards the beginning. There's some lenders that went out of business. And there was people that were, you know, had millions, and people, some of these guys had to like basically not honor their locks because they got margin called, and they, you know, they had like a million, millions and millions, $1 billion due that they didn't have because these loans weren't actually, you know, closed. And so it was just got a little crazy. So yeah, a lot of them increased it. I saw a lot of lenders go up to 680, a lot to 640. Obviously Chase Bank took it to the extreme, went up to 700. I have seen a lot of that loosening up. There's still some lenders out there that have, I think about 640 is pretty average for a lot of the lenders that have higher overlays. But there is a lot of companies that have, you know, loosened it back up to, you know, 580 to 620. However, generally with those sort of lower credit scores, there is some sort of overlays, or there's fees that are assessed, or there's just, you know, kind of makes it a little bit harder to get those loans. So there is, it is a little bit harder to get those, but that being said, it has loosened up a little bit from that beginning of that. And obviously, you know, I'm not a lender, but this is just kind of feedback from, you know, from our clients and kind of hearing what they say. But yeah, that's generally what it is. It's like 620 plus, 640 plus. Those are generally good for most companies. There's a few that might be a little bit stricter, but most of them are pretty good there. Sub 620 or 640, there may be some restrictions, but there's still, you know, there's still programs available out there, depending on where you look and which company you talk to. Cause you know, some companies are willing to be aggressive while others aren't. Right. So it depends on their sort of, you know, risk assessment. Right.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that. So on the marketing side for you, do you use any old school marketing like Craigslist? Because it seems like some people rarely talk about Craigslist anymore. It's Facebook. Maybe, like you say, you had a friend that does Instagram. Maybe they might use Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever that may be. Is Craigslist not something that you would ever think about recommending to your clients? Do people still even use Craigslist?
Man, I honestly have no idea about Craigslist.
It's true though, because I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, because you're one of the few people that, you know, when I asked you, because I don't hear much about Craigslist anymore.
Right.
You know, it's so powerful with and I want to talk about Google Analytics and SEO and tell me what you think about them.
Sure.
It's like you said, it's the social media platforms that people tend to flock to. And
right.
And am I right on that? And the Craigslist of the world?
It's, It's the shiny. I think it's the shiny object, and you know, obviously, I think it's also where the attention is, right? Like, yeah. So as attention shifts, depending, obviously, Craigslist was huge for a while. I mean, yes. I have heard of people that have used it. I don't know about in the loan space, but I have heard of people that are crushing Craigslist, doing certain things. Same with like eBay and you know these different platforms that at one point were huge. I think there is always a lot of times too. There's like this circular sort of like cycle where like. You know, there was a time where direct mail was huge and then it wasn't. And like, I'm seeing kind of a resurgence a little bit of people saying, kind of going back to direct mail, that it works because, you know, so much attention is being poured into things like Facebook, you know, especially Facebook because of, you know, that there being so much attention on that platform. You know, ad costs are going up. You know, there's tons of volatility on the platform and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm, you know, as an agency myself, we're looking at, you know, implementing YouTube, implementing Google SEO, you know, stuff like that for ourselves. We're using already, you know, SEO that we just kind of started recently. Mostly it's still Facebook, but I found that like, again, just like I was talking about earlier, diversification is key because we've had ad accounts that got shut down, you know, 1 week are getting $35 appointments. The next week you're getting $300 appointments. So there's just kind of like that sort of ebb and flow. And so having some diversification is going to keep your business steady and stable. If one of those legs kind of falls out from under you, you have other mediums of traffic, right? And so, yes, there, okay. You know, I think if it works, if you figured out something that works on Craigslist, keep doing it, right? Like, you know, there's not going to be many people doing it. I just don't know any, you know, I don't know the tactics for that, but you know, I'm not opposed. I'm a guy that does Facebook ads, but I'm not opposed to people doing other things. Cause like there's a lot of guys that are like, oh man, you're cold calling. Why are you cold calling? It's like, well, cold calling still works. Door knocking still works. Direct mail still works. Like they all still work. Just choose the medium that works for you and your business and go all in on that. And then start to diversify and find other things that work for you and your business. Cause everybody's trying to like pigeonhole everybody into these little boxes. Like Facebook is the best. And it's not, it's just, it's one medium that you can use to advertise your business.
Yeah. What do we think about, well, let's talk about SEO. Mm-hmm. Is Google the way to go there and having, I guess, pay-per-click or if I got that right, what do we think about Google email marketing as another source of trying to get lead generation?
Yeah. I mean, those are all good platforms. I mean, Google SEO, like AdWords, the one thing with Google ads, typically is that, especially for stuff like mortgage, it's fairly expensive from the standpoint because it's super competitive. So the way that generally you hear people doing Google for stuff like, you know, sort of like the local guys is it has to be like long tail sort of keywords where they're using very specific keywords for what, like, so in my case, like I'm in La Mesa right now. So it'd be like best La Mesa loan officer, you know, like, so if someone's going to type that in, it's going to be less competitive than just typing mortgage, right? Because if someone types mortgage, the keyword mortgage, I think is like $40 or $50 per click. That's how much it costs per click. And so you're competing obviously with the Quickens and all these big banks that are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're willing to spend, you know, to be that first placement, right?
Yeah, wow. You know, I'm just amazed, you know, because, you know, when you look at the scale of marketing, my God, there is a lot of platforms, but I like that you just narrowed down to a couple. You know, like you say, you got the paid ads, you got the free ads, you know, you're okay with email marketing, but you're also with, you know, using YouTube down the road, Instagram, Facebook. I love that. Luke, first of all, I wanted to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I'm jealous to the hell that you're in San Diego enjoying the beautiful weather. We're here in New York. It's nice. It's about 65 to 70, so I can't complain.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's about to be cold, though.
Yeah, eventually, another couple of weeks. So, Luke, before I let you go, just a couple of more things. Is there any books you would like to recommend or any software that you have for your company that you would like to recommend? Obviously, I'll ask you about your website and everything.
Sure. As far as like a book, if you are doing any sort of internet marketing type of stuff, the book that can, well, especially if you're a loan officer or even a real estate person, anybody that's kind of generating internet leads, the book The Conversion Code is huge. It kind of goes over, you know, even has a script and stuff like that in there about how to convert internet leads. It actually has some information about how to set up ads and stuff like that too. I kind of brushed past that part because I already kind of knew how to do that. But the part that I really liked was towards the end was, you know, a lot of how to convert internet leads. So that was a huge book as far as like kind of like a tactical book. Okay. Another one that I would say is one of my favorites of all time, you know, to hit on that mindset piece, is Psycho Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. That was a huge book for me. I read that back in, I think, 2017. It just really was kind of a pivotal or just like a foundational book for the mindset piece of, like, you know, just knowing that, you know, you just have to put that time in.
I heard of that book.
It's a great book. It's a great book. Basically, it's, you know, it's a former plastic surgeon, or it was a plastic surgeon. One of the things he found was that a lot of times, even though he changed people's faces and stuff like, that wouldn't necessarily do anything. But if you could change how the mind associated with those changes, that is when the real change happened. And so it was like huge to see that the mind has such a big impact in the way we view things. It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, someone thinks they have a big old nose and they get their nose shaved down or whatever. All of a sudden they still feel the same way because their mind never changed around the way they perceive themselves. But if they were to switch the way they perceive themselves, all of a sudden they see themselves as beautiful, right? Because, you know, again, it was all the mind.
I love that.
Software you mentioned?
Yeah.
I would say Zapier. Zapier, I don't know exactly what that is. That's one of my favorites. Just automates everything. You know, you can connect everything, automate. That's probably the biggest tool that sort of connects a lot of our tools. There's a bunch of other things that we use as well, but that's the one tool that basically connects everything and automates a lot of our business.
Yeah, I heard of Zapier. And if somebody wanted to get in contact with you and learn more about what you can help, pretty much help mortgage brokers and all of us too.
Yeah. So you can find, obviously, we have our website, ParagonDMG.com. You can shoot me an email at Luke@ParagonDMG.com. You can just find me on Facebook, just Luke Shankula. You know, on Facebook, shoot me a message, and you know, I'm usually on there quite a bit. I've been taking a little bit of a hiatus just because, you know, it gets a little bit much, you know, just wasting too much time scrolling, but
simple mediums. No, listen, first of all, I appreciate what you gave us today. My God, so many golden nuggets. Luke, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate it.
So much for having me as well.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Thank you.
Well, everyone, that was Luke Shankula, and you can find him at lukeshankula.com. That's LukeShankula.com. Luke, thank you so much for being on today's Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peer-to-peerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Please check out our past shows, our blog, our whole site, okay? And please go to Apple Podcasts. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great, great day and stay safe.